A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe, on Sunday, July the 5th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe calls on the country's city fathers not to let land barons disrupt the vendors' registration process that is expected to proceed the resettling of vendors from city centres.
The current question is that vendors have refused accepting the current registration process that is being run by space barons, as opposed to Harare City Council officials. We don't want people who have been corruptly getting money from the vendors.
The Apex Council says it is still consulting government on increasing civil servant salaries of the lowest paid workers to be in line with the poverty datum line 6 months down the line.
6 months down the line, we have not received a salary increment from government. But what we have managed to do is to keep dialogue, social dialogue, alive between ourselves as the representatives of the workers in the Apex Council, to keep dialogue alive with government.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The Vendors Union of Zimbabwe is calling on the country's city fathers not to let land barons disrupt the vendors' registration process that is expected to proceed the resettling of vendors from city centres. Although some city councils, like Harare, have been saying their registration is on course, the National Vendors Union says it is not happy with the process so far. Efforts to get comment from Harare City Fathers were fruitless. National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wazai tells us more.
The current question is that vendors have refused to accept the current registration process that is being run by space barons, as opposed to Harare City Council officials. We don't want people who have been corruptly getting money from the vendors and extorting money from vendors to run the process of registration. We had a convention with the resident associations throughout the country, and they came out very clear that they are behind all efforts by National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe to ensure that the process of registration is not partisan and is inclusive. The resolution was that let's have a fresh registration process that is not managed by space barons, by Harare City Council officials, or other council officials throughout the country.
But the Harare City Council on its website has been saying that they are registering vendors. Are they working with you as the National Vendors Association, or what is the situation?
The situation is that the Harare City Council is working with the space barons, and they are using fee to force vendors to join this process. But our position earlier was that our members should be part and parcel of this process. But we noticed that it has been hijacked by space barons who are bent on soliciting money from desperate vendors. That's why we called for immediate halt of this process, so that we have got an inclusive and non-partisan process.
Moving forward, what do you hope will become of this exercise?
This exercise will remain shambolic as long as it is still run by space barons. We want the city of Harare to run the process so that they are able to develop a comprehensive tax collection regime informed by the number of people that we have registered. If they allow space barons to run this process, they won't be able to get the correct number of vendors operating within the central business district. One. Number two, they won't also be able to know who needs space at this juncture, because naturally vendors will shun away from a process that is run by space barons or politicians. So they won't be able to determine the number of spaces that are required. And also, more importantly, they won't be able to get the necessary revenue from vendors. We want the local authorities to run this process, not politicians.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai in Harare. The Apex Council says it is still consulting government on increasing civil servants' salary of the lowest paid workers to be in line with the poverty datum line 6 months down the line. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gunjani tells us more.
6 months down the line, at the beginning of the year when we started the year, the expectation ordinarily at the beginning of every year is that there's a salary increment. So 6 months down the line, we have not received a salary increment from government. But what we have managed to do is to keep dialogue, social dialogue, alive between ourselves as the representatives of the workers in the Apex Council, to keep dialogue alive with government. So this we have managed to do over three sittings where we have submitted our demand and we have followed up our demands, and later on government responded. And now we are at a period where we have gone back to the people to consult the people, to appraise the people of the information that we have received from the other side, which is government side. So what we bemoan here is the length of time that it has taken our process. Right now we expect to go back into the last round, where we expect to go back and convince government that we still have a strong argument that we deserve a salary rise and that the other demands that we asked for are implemented timelessly. So we are at a period now where we have gone back to the people. By the people, I mean as the Apex Council, our people are the unions, the 14, 15 unions that represent different workers in government service. So they also go back to their people, their members.
Mr. Gundani, what are some of the demands that you have actually asked government to fulfill?
The civil servants have given us a mandate. They gave us a mandate last year, beginning of this year, to make sure that we achieve the poverty datum line in terms of the least paid worker in the civil service. Everybody will recall that we got to a point last year where we agreed with government that it is important that the least paid worker in government gets an amount of money, total remuneration, which amounts to the poverty datum line or better. But at that point in time last year, we only achieved 3/4 of that poverty datum line. So it was important going into this year, as clearly articulated in our demand, that it is important that we get a salary, total remuneration package, which is above the poverty datum line. Over and above that, there were other non-monetary demands that are still outstanding, such as the provision of housing to every civil servant. These issues we have continued to articulate very clearly in our demand, and we are continuing to chase them. We are chasing after these issues. But of paramount importance, we have realized that now that we have a new constitution, which has new provisions that we have celebrated, for example, the provision that provides that there be a legal process of collective bargaining in this country. What has taken a long time, what should be expedited by government, is the implementation of the alignment of the acts, for example, the Public Service Act, that has to be aligned to the new constitution, so that we realize that right of collective bargaining. And we properly constitute ourselves into an organ that can carry out collective bargaining effectively. Because right now the weakness is that what we do through the process of consultation is just a process of consultation where we share information, but it is not really binding as would obtain in a situation where we have real collective bargaining. So these issues are the issues that we have continued to press government to say they must expedite the alignment of the laws so that they are in sync with the new constitution.
What is the poverty datum line? What least amount should the lowest paid worker be getting for them to survive day to day?
Over $500, because it keeps vacillating around certain figures, over $500.
That was the Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Plot Mako, who is one of the 30 Zimbabweans here in the U.S. for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. He is currently stationed in New Orleans at Tulane University. Plot, thank you so very much for joining me on the program.
Thank you so much for bringing me to the program.
Now, let's first talk about you. I understand you're a dancer or you're into the arts. You know, tell me what you're doing back home in Zimbabwe.
Well, I'm a creative social entrepreneur running an institution called Jubilika Dance Trust, which we founded 8 years ago. The organization is promoting popular youth culture for youth engagement and development, offering, you know, a wide-ranging programming like around arts training, mentorship, life skills in the face of HIV and unemployment and drug abuse in Zimbabwe.
And you're the artistic director there. How has the response been, especially for the young children and young youth that you're working with day to day in Zimbabwe?
The response is quite overwhelming. I mean, there's a growing demand for our programs. And recently, 2 months ago, we launched a community art space. We're offering programming on a daily basis where young people can come through for free and get dance training, get music training, get other life skills around, you know, creative arts. And apart from that, we're having a number of awareness programs that attract like hundreds. And at times when you get into schools, we attract even thousands of kids that show a lot of interest and a positive response towards our program.
And right now you're in New Orleans, or Nyalins, as I heard they call it down there. Vibrant culturally, very vibrant musically, artistically. How has your experience been?
Well, I mean, firstly, being selected for Yale is a big honor. I mean, having been selected amongst, hundreds of applicants that applied for Yale and making it, I think it's actually humbling and inspiring an opportunity. And being in New Orleans is quite an experience that is mind-blowing, because this is a community that is predominantly like has a 60% African-American population and a community that is recovering from disaster of 2005, the Hurricane Katrina. I mean, there is so much that we relate with. There's so much that we can learn from this community. And the cultural diversity, I mean, New Orleans is a cultural hub, using all the music, the jazz and the dance, the African culture being dominant here. I think it connects well to the work that I'm doing, serving as a platform for, you know, real hands-on professional experience and development.
And pointing that out, I mean, a lot of Zimbabweans or Africans that I've spoken to who have spent time in New Orleans, as you're saying, find that cultural root that connects them very much to the African culture. You know, as your progress goes on, you'll be here for some coming weeks. What are you expecting?
Well, I'm looking forward to further engagement, further cooperation, further like linkages, the local community, local, you know, social entrepreneurs that are doing pretty much the same stuff that we're trying to push at home. And apart from that, I mean, just that opportunity to really connect with my fellow, you know, Yali participants from other countries. You know, I have 24 other Africans that are with me on this program, which is also an opportunity to connect with them and also share their experiences and re-inspire each other.
And for those who are listening to your journey, hearing where you are now and how you got there, what's your message to the young people, and especially those who are interested in the artistic life, music, dance, artistry?
Well, my message to them is that, like, just stay humble and never stop learning. I mean, keep trying, because I come from a very humble background. I grew up in the ghetto. You know, my life was between the rural home and in town in the ghetto. And, you know, rising through, making it through, and now getting this opportunity, it really shows that, I mean, at times when you're dedicated and committed to your vision and your goal, and if you do something for your own local community, something positive, it will definitely bring positive results. And my encouragement to every Zimbabwean, to every young person, is go to school, just keep learning. It's really important as an artist to have that education, because the art takes you somewhere, but for you to sustain it, you need that kind of education.
Plot, I want to say thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
That was Plot Mako, who is the artistic director and founder of Jibikila Dance Trust, based in Harare, but currently here as a 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow in New Orleans at Tulane University. And now, as usual, make sure you have a wonderful Sunday and join me next week. I'm Tatenda Gumbo.
I'm a star, like African diva bizarre. Us women were shining like stars, start from the bottom and rise from the top. You're wonderful, loving and strong. Nothing is stronger than a woman's worth. I'm the piece of the puzzle that's missing, baby. I compete in the earth. Call me Shiva, but just call me Mary Makeba. See, we run the world. Show some love to the strong girl.
That there is Strong Girl from inspirational musicians from Africa, featuring our very own Selma Mutukudzi, in an album that was put together by one organization to fight poverty. And now to recap on today's top stories. The National Vendors Union Zimbabwe calls on the country's city fathers not to let land barons disrupt the vendors' registration process. And the Apex Council says it is still consulting government on increasing civil servant salary of the lowest paid worker to be in line with the poverty datum line. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July the 5th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.